the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
And we have just finished watching Game 2 of the NBA Finals 2020, Friday, October 2nd, 2020.
Yep. And the Lakers have completed their second straight double-digit win over the shorthanded Miami Heat in a game that featured almost no defense.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a rough game to watch.
Kind of a strange game.
Yeah, if you really like good defensive play for stretches, it felt like Miami couldn't stop the Lakers on any shot that was inside the 3-point line.
Well, it was a weird game to watch if you care from one possession to the next about your team playing well on defense. Like if you get because the Lakers basically had between a 5 and 15 point lead for pretty much the whole game.
Yeah.
So, and what you want as a fan is like, let's start, when we make a three, let's start, you know, as I did today on the stock market, lock in our profits.
Yeah.
Instead of just letting Tyler Hero go to the rim by himself with no one under the rim, you know, that kind of thing. Instead of letting Jay Crowder just like dunk the ball with no shot blocking.
Yeah, makes sense.
It gets frustrating on that sense. It was kind of fun to watch on an offensive level, in a way. Yes,
it really was because the Lakers made basically every 2-point shot that they took. Anthony Davis, I believe, was 14 for 16 or some ridiculous number from the field. It was just an absolutely dominant game from the Lakers. And you take a look at LeBron James's output, right? And for most of this game, you were like, oh, Anthony Davis, he's going nuts. He's going ham. And at the end of the game, he had one less point and a shit ton less assists. And you're like, who affected that game more? And I think like at the end of the day, it was LeBron James.
Yeah. I don't know because yes, I actually think, I think that's probably true. In fact, I think probably the most competitive, it's possible the most competitive thing about this series is going to be who's going to get finals MVP. and I would say right now, LeBron is a shade ahead on that point.
Yeah. I mean, but, in the middle of the third quarter, Anthony Davis was way ahead.
Yeah.
LeBron like led the team to victory, and it was pretty crazy. For what is basically the entirety of the fourth quarter, the Lakers were up by 11 points.
Yeah,
right. They started up by 12, I believe, and then they ended up by 10, and so they were just at this line the entire time. There was no real switch for more than 1 point of any bench unit for the Lakers in the entire fourth quarter.
Yeah, I will say that I do think LeBron has had more impact on the game. I think Anthony Davis's presence has had the most effect on the game.
That's a good point.
Because his points are so efficient. Basically, the entire second quarter of this game was played in a zone in a way to try to like handle like some of this is growing out of like, what are we going to do against these guys?
Yeah.
In fact, I thought the most interesting transformation in this series was that in the second quarter of this game, the Lakers turned into the Houston Rockets.
just the second quarter. Oh, wait, it was the entirety of the game. They shot 47 3-pointers. Lakers, not a good 3-point shooting team. That's the most 3 points anyone has ever shot in a finals game.
Yeah, they broke the record in the first half, right? And then they broke it again.
Yes.
And they shot it okay, 34%.
I mean, 34% is good.
Does that translate to 50% kind of thing?
Yeah. The only problem was that they were better from inside the arc for most of the game. Like they were shooting 70% from inside the arc, and they were shooting effectively 50% from outside the arc.
Right. And also, it is still a problem if KCP goes 2 for 11 from 3.
I mean, made that one to win the game. He literally won the game.
I'm going to go out on the limb and say that 2 for 11 is not good.
No, it's not good, but it's not the hilarious hilarity of our good friend, your best bud, pal number one of the Lakers, future NBA champion, Kyle Kuzma.
Oh my gosh. He genuinely looks like a scrub.
It was very funny watching him fail his way through this game.
Oh man.
And like, there were three plays in a row. I think it was some point during the second quarter. It was either the end of the first.
When I texted you, get him out of the game.
Yeah, and he had an awful turnover. Then he had an awful pass to a turnover, and then he had an awful miss. And it was just like, all right, you know, hey, somebody needs to yell at him like Udonis Haslem yelled at the entirety of the Miami Heat.
I saw that. I saw that clip. Duncan Robinson, as predicted by me, had a better game.
Did he, though?
He scored 8 points in game one.
Okay.
He scored 9 points in game two.
Yeah, but he was the focal point of why they were doing poorly.
So they were hunting him for sure on defense. It was kind of, I felt kind of bad for him, but they were finding wherever he was. There were, at least there were multiple alley-oop attempts on him. The Lakers, it's not that they were befuddled by the zone, but the Lakers sort of gave into the zone for a little while in the second quarter.
Yeah.
By taking those 3-point shots.
Yep.
But then I felt like they kind of cracked it at a certain point.
Yeah. Soon as Duncan Robinson came back in the second quarter, when Kendrick Nunn picked up his third foul.
So they cracked it by the Heat substituting their players.
I mean, you know, how often do you go to popcornmachine.net to look at the game flows?
Not too often.
It's very, very clear that when Duncan Robinson came in, the Lakers advanced their lead by a large amount. Mm-hmm. And when he was out of the game, they did not do the same thing. He had an awful game. And, you know, this confirms what I was thinking, which was that they were picking on him. He was giving cheap fouls. He was getting beaten off the dribble. One thing I tweeted in the middle of the third quarter is he took a hit from LeBron on the way to LeBron scoring a layup. And I was like, if LeBron hit me like that, I would just retire immediately from whatever I was doing. Like, I wouldn't even be a basketball player. And if he hit me like that, I would retire from whatever I was doing. It's just, it's time to retire if you get hit like that. And it was tough for him to be on the court in this game. Yeah. And, you know, he was getting talked up by Jimmy Butler at one point in the game on the sideline. And it was pretty funny because Jimmy Butler was like sweaty and it looked like he was like really like into the game. And Duncan Robinson looked like he had like just stepped out of like tea club. He looked like he had not been in the game at all. No sweat, nothing. And it was just like, all right, maybe the towels are just that good in the bubble. But
he's got a very manicured and groomed hair thing going on.
Yeah, he does have a groomed hair thing.
He looks like if he put on a suit, he'd be like Pete Campbell's brother on Mad Men.
Ooh. This is a friend of mine, a friend of the podcast, tweeted a picture of Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero next to each other and captioned it, Da Vinci?
What's that?
You know, have you seen those two guys who are trying to answer the questions on like a TikTok video?
No.
Oh my God, dude. You got to see the Da Vinci guys. It's so funny. If you don't know what Da Vinci is, look up Da Vinci. It's like, what if someone didn't know how to pronounce Da Vinci?
Da Vinci. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. I will investigate this.
And then, somebody else tweeted that the picture of Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero looked like the start to a Sean Cody video.
Uh huh.
And I was like, "What's a Sean Cody video?" And I started to type it in my work computer. I was like, "Oh no, I know exactly what that is. I'm not gonna type that in my work computer."
Yeah. That's some kind of porn, isn't it?
Yes. It's pornographic material.
I'll say two things about the rosters of the teams. Obviously, they're hurt by not having Dragic. Obviously, my prediction that Bam was going to have an above-average game didn't happen because he didn't play. But it's interesting. I'm beginning increasingly to think that the concept of like the bubble helping veterans is a thing. Because really, there was points in this game where the Lakers had four fall Hall of Famers on the court playing pretty like Dwight Howard had bursts and Rondo has bursts where it's like they're close to the level they were at. Like,
okay, can we just like take one deep breath real fast?
Yeah.
I don't want to shoot Rajon Rondo into the sun. That's not a thing I want to do right now.
Uh-huh.
You just called him a future Hall of Famer.
Oh, I think he's a Hall of Famer.
You don't Rajon think so? Rondo?
Let me look at what basketball. Dwight Howard is the first ballot
yes, Hall of Famer. Dwight Howard is.
Let's look at Rajon Rondo's Hall of Fame probability.
I think he's at like 10%.
Really?
I think so. That's what I've... Like, he's never had the individual accolades to make it actually...
Okay. I thought maybe he had picked up some more. I mean, he's a four-time All-Star.
Okay. 40.7.
Okay, so maybe he won't. And I don't think he has much of a college or Olympic pedigree to speak of, necessarily.
No, he does not.
Okay, so maybe he's not. Interesting, because... you know what's... along those lines... okay, well, they had three Hall of Famers and a four-time All-Star playing at a pretty high level. And Miami has Jimmy Butler. And Jimmy Butler, before the game, they were talking about, you know, or during the first quarter, I think they had mentioned, like, well, every team he goes to is better. Look at this. This is the only time the Bulls have been in the playoffs is when he was, you know, there and Timberwolves and all that. Mm-hmm. And then they posted his, like, I think playoff stats or something, and it was like, 18.8 points per game and 5 rebounds a game. This is kind of what I was talking about yesterday when we were talking, when I was mentioning that there is a bunch of sort of second tier stars in the league. 18.8 points per game is very good, but it's not AD and LeBron level.
No.
And sort of tacking onto this Hall of Fame discussion we're having, I think it will be very interesting to see who from this current era becomes the like Rajon Rondos of the future, where you think back and you're like, oh, that guy was great. You know, CJ McCollum was great. He's not getting into the Hall of Fame. We all talked about him so much. Mm-hmm. And we talk about so many players now at such a, there becomes almost a flattening of the way we talk about these players. It's like, we talk about LeBron and Damian Lillard and Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray, you know, almost as it, and Paul George and Jimmy Butler, almost as if they're all sort of like all superstars.
Yeah.
And I think that's not going to be borne out by the way Hall of Fame voting goes in 10, 15 years. And there will be some, you know, actually, is Deron Williams in the Hall of Fame? He's probably not, I would think, right?
No. Deron Williams is definitely not in the Hall of Fame.
But there was a time that he was... at least in head-to-head games against Chris Paul, was like better than Chris Paul.
Yeah, and Deron Williams is currently at 10% to make it into the Hall of Fame based on the tracker.
Right.
Chris Paul.
Where is it on basketball? Chris Paul's first ballot.
100%.
Yeah, he's first ballot. As much as I hate him, he's first ballot. By the way, the other great thing about rooting for Rajon Rondo is he gets another ring and... you know that's got to drive Chris Paul crazy.
Yeah.
Do not like each other.
Not at all.
Where's the Hall of Fame probability on Basketball Reference?
It's top right here. Bottom. It's at the bottom. I can actually put it in the chat.
Ooh.
Yeah, there we go. Right there on Zoom for you, baby.
Oh, I see. I thought it listed it on their individual pages too.
It does, and it's at the bottom of like at the bottom at the end of like the All-Star and like career leaders and whatnot.
Yeah.
The very bottom.
Well, okay, I know
before you get to the Hall of Fame probability people.
Yeah.
And this is, it even counts people who are in the Hall of Fame. I want to go over the like active list, and I want to go over everybody who has a 70% or higher chance of being in the Hall of Fame.
Some surprising names on this list, I will say.
Here we go. We got LeBron James, Chris Paul, Kevin Durant are all 100%ers.
So they're first ballots.
Yeah. Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Steph Curry, Dwight Howard are all over 99%.
Makes sense. One thing to know about the way this, I'm pretty sure the way what the algorithm for this is that regular season MVP is very, very heavily weighted.
Yes, very much so. There's a, like we can actually go over the calculation. Okay, numbers.
Carmelo is interesting, but he is a national champion at Syracuse and an Olympian, so mm-hmm. he will get in.
Mm-hmm. But that doesn't this is only for NBA stuff. So it only there are only four NBA categories.
Here's the thing. Mathematical factors going in.
Yes. And you were wrong. We were wrong. There's no MVP in this.
Oh, really? So yeah. then I'm talking about someone else's Hall of Fame probability.
Yes, correct.
But there is a high correlation between regular season MVP and because I remember that's why like Steve Nash is in or
Steve Nash is in.
Yeah, it was like obvious. Winning two MVPs, you're going to be in.
Yeah.
And Carmelo, even if this is, I'm actually kind of amazed that he's so high just based on NBA stats. But
so here's what it takes into account.
Okay,
your height is a negative factor. The taller you are, the less likely you're able to go in.
So George Mirosan is not in.
NBA championships. Okay, that's a factor. NBA leaderboard points. And so leaderboard points are 10 points for leading the league in a category and 1 point for finishing 10th.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like per season.
Hmm.
And so there's a factor of that. It's like the number of leaderboard points times 0.01594.
Hmm.
Your peak win shares, which means the most win share you had in a season, your best season, and then your NBA All-Star Game selections.
Hmm.
So they have a formula where you add up one constant, your height times negative 0.14203, your championships by 0.805, your leaderboard points by 0.01594, your peak win shares times 0.4156, and your All-Star Game selections times 0.102443.
Oh, that's pretty low weighted then.
All-Star Game selections are actually weighted pretty high.
Oh, how much? What was the other one? What was the that was 0.1 something?
The 0.01 is the leaderboard points.
That's I didn't hear the zero. Okay, yeah. Cool. Well, I thought Rajon Rondo would, if he wins another championship, that goes in, right?
Who?
Rajon Rondo?
Yeah, if he wins another championship, it will go up by 0.08 in your probability. So what happens is that then that number that you get is put into 1 divided by 1 plus the exponent of the negative of the number that you got. It's you know, a whole fucking nightmare of a math
problem. This is something you need Wolfram Alpha for.
I mean, not really. You could literally just type this into Google. It'll tell you. And yeah, so Tony Parker currently has a 93.8% chance because of his multiple All-Star Game selections and NBA championships. The All-Star Game and the championships, those are the big ones.
Huh. Yeah, well, Rondo's not getting another All-Star.
No.
But he could get one or two more rings.
Yeah, the championship will bring him up. It'll bring him up. He'll be up there. I imagine he'll get another 6 or 7%.
Dwight will probably be near to 100% at that point.
Dwight would be up around 100%, yeah.
Well, this could be a sweep. I don't know. This, first of all, I think we mentioned I'm fine if the Lakers would just win against this competition, but it is a little bit of a letdown from even the Nuggets and the Rockets series. If it just plays out like this, because it feels a little like, it feels sort of palpably unfair at the moment. So, I don't know. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I would be bummed if they swept because I want to watch more basketball. We're not getting any more basketball until the end of the year.
Oh, by the way, what happened with Sue Bird today? She set a record?
Oh, a record for number of assists in a game. And then Breonna Stewart, God, she fucking scored 37 points. The Storm are going to run away with this. There's no chance for the Aces.
What state of the playoffs are they in?
Finals.
Oh, so this is the first time it's concurrent? Yes? No?
Yes. Yeah, because normally they'll play in the off season for basketball.
And are they doing a bubble as well?
Yep. In Bradenton.
That's Oregon?
At the IMG Academy.
Ooh. Cool. Yeah, you know, I will say one bonus about this is I think we're getting basketball again very soon. January, February?
Yeah, but that's far, man.
That's not far. It's October.
It's like 3 months from now.
Previously, that would end in like June, and the first game wouldn't be till November.
Yeah, but we aren't going to have.
That's 3 months.
Summer league in the middle. Okay, we can't go to Vegas and be very sad that we're at summer league. The draft will be shortened. Free agency is going to be shortened. Like, we're cramming all this stuff in there, and you know it's going to feel like forever. Also, everything feels like forever because we're stuck inside of our houses.
Yeah. Well, not if you live in Florida.
That's true.
Knock yourself out.
Yeah, get to it. Have fun.
It's Don't actually do interesting.
It. Stay home anyway.
Because of the Florida reopening, technically, of course, they have their own restrictions because they're a part of the NBA corporation. You know, the product that the NBA is providing, they've got their own restrictions. But technically, like, they could just leave the bubble, go anywhere that they want to go. Of course, the NBA would be like, hey, you broke the bubble. But, like, there's no that's just odd to me. Like, the night after the the night after the Lakers or the Heat lose the series, right? They don't have to move out of the hotel room. They can just go to a club that night, be in close proximity with other people. That's odd to me. They have like this very restrictive situation inside a state that is extremely wide open.
Yeah. Good. Man, if only anything made sense right now, wouldn't that be great?
A good reason not to do a Daniel House and have just random people come into your room. So let's pray that both the players on both of these teams do not introduce any randos into the bubble this last 10 days of the season.
Thoughts and prayers. The only rando that's getting in the bubble is going to be the Larry O'Brien trophy.
The only rando in my life, Jesus Christ.
There we go. Very rando. So rando.
So I think we're both happy with the result of this game. It wasn't that exciting to watch, to be honest.
Yeah, I think just the level of defensive intensity. Also, it felt like the Lakers fouled Miami so much.
Oh, man.
Like, they were – I think the Miami shot almost 40 free throws, like that.
And to a degree, like, Miami earns them. Jimmy Butler is very good at drawing them. But there were, like, four plays in a row where they fouled, like, a Jimmy Butler drive. And I was just like, come on.
Yeah, I'm going to say it right here. The free throw disparity, totally unfair. Okay, are you kidding me? 34 for Miami and 17 for the Lakers. We need to talk to the league office about this because it's not fair. Also, who gives a shit?
Also, it's such a dumb thing to compare in any game.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of dumb, Mark Jackson is still dumb because Kyle Kuzma ran one play where he got a pass and he's like, that's what he's so much better at, running without the ball. It's like, no, he's not. He made one play.
It's what he should be good at. It's what he should be good at.
Yeah.
And he's not there yet.
Yeah. Game three is Sunday.
Yeah.
And then game four is Wednesday.
Yep.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say, can we talk about how the Lakers, LeBron, had zero turnovers? LeBron had zero turnovers.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, it was a relatively turnover-free game for both teams. Both teams had 9 turnovers. Mm-hmm. But LeBron being able to dish out 9 assists, grab 9 rebounds, 0 turnovers, really, really good stuff from him.
Also, again, huge factor dealing with rebounding and size. The Lakers had 16 offensive rebounds,
mm-hmm.
and the Heat had 6.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 10 extra possessions.
Here's the thing. The refs have to look at that disparity, okay? It's just not fair.
Yeah.
Honestly. And the fact that the Lakers scored 124 points and Miami only scored 114.
That's a disparity.
That's a disparity. I mean, you know, that's a struggle, okay? And I'm not happy with that.
The only thing I have to say is next game, let's have LeBron hit some more free throws.
I think that's probably a good idea. If he goes 4 for 5 rather than 2 for 5, But I'm also just not here to tell LeBron that he needs to do anything.
Yeah.
Because he's amazing and I love
him. Yeah. And I would say, like I said, right now, I think he would be the finals MVP.
Yeah, I think so too.
Which also is fine because Anthony Davis is going to be in the league for 5 to 10 years past when LeBron leaves.
I think it's just fine because he deserves it. They both deserve it. And I think either one winning it would be fine.
I just think that the narrative of it will AD has to be, I'd say, 10 to 20% better than LeBron to win it. If they are tied, it will go to LeBron.
Okay.
Just because that's the way the media thinks. And so, you know, like it's like the years where they really wanted to give it to Steph Curry.
Yeah.
But he would just have a stinker of a game in like every finals every finals run they had. In the finals, he had at least one or two like dramatically bad games. And then, you know, someone like even Iguodala or Durant is just more consistent.
Yeah.
What time is it on Sunday? What time is that game?
That game is like a 5 o'clock game, I think.
Okay.
Let me check to be sure about that.
I don't have too much else to say.
4:30. It's a 4:30 game.
Our Pacific time?
Yep.
Cool. All right. I think it'll be good. I think I'll get more excited the closer we are to actually like clinching it.
Yeah.
Tyler, by the way, Tyler Hero and Kelly Olynyk had decent games. Mm-hmm. Kelly Olynyk actually had a great game.
He scored 24 points. My preview of the game today on my group chat was just 4 ugly pictures of Kelly Olynyk because we were going to get a ton of Kelly Olynyk today.
Mm.
Really, truly, just 4 of the ugliest pictures of Kelly Olynyk, just looking awful.
You is it Chandler Parsons that you hate?
I do hate Chandler Parsons.
Yes. But do you or do you not hate Myers Leonard?
I don't like Myers Leonard, but, I guess I could deal with Myers Leonard.
Okay. So he's not a Chandler Parsons level.
No, not at all.
All right, man. I think we did it.
Yeah.
We've set a record today because of the vagaries of the server that I post these episodes on. We are posting 3 episodes of this show in one day.
Well, hey, you know what? I'm proud of us. I'm proud of our server. And let's do this.
Yeah, we'll see you next time. Bye.